coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly.
Hello and welcome back to our weekly survey of the Bible lessons for each Sunday of the church year with me, Jamie Krieger, and David Weber. Today, we will look at the lessons for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And the readings are from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 6 to 9. The Psalm is 119, verses 129 to 136. The Epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And the Gospel lesson is the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 14 to 23. And here again is David Weber. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Jamie. 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And we carry forward last week's theme about evil within the heart, hypocrisy, with this gospel lesson where Jesus, in attacking evil, makes the distinction between that which is on the outside and the evil that comes from within. An unbearable truth, maybe it is the unbearable truth, is that everything in our life has fallen. And it has fallen in such a way that it landed upside down. Everything in life is either broken or breaking. And our problem is that we have grown accustomed to this fallen world. We have grown accustomed to reality being upside down. We can no longer tell what uprightness is. We no longer even desire uprightness. We don't know how it's achieved, even if we did desire it. Yet we live with an unbearable suspicion that nothing can be made upright, that we are only falling and falling apart. And so, for this reason, it's an unbearable truth to think that. So we are so easily duped by fake solutions of hucksters and hypocrites. This is why hypocrisy works. It's because it looks like it's an alternative to simply everything falling apart. It looks like it's an alternative that reintegrates a vision of the world. Now, Mark outlines Jesus' alternative way of dealing with the fallen world, and that is to bring uprightness, to turn things up, the upside down things, right side up. And Mark is careful here that Jesus' program of uprighting things, of uprightness, begins with a distinction. And the distinction is between the stuff that happens on the inner self and the stuff that happens on the outer self. See, if our desired uprightness cannot be satisfied by adjusting the outer pieces of getting a better job, income, location, car, government, or lover, then we despair. But Jesus says any uprightness is going to happen not by adjusting the outside things, but by the transformation of the upside down heart within the person. The upside down heart plans, makes evil plans, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, malice, treachery, licentiousness, jealousy, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Those things we don't really have a problem. We can see them evident in all of life. The big experiment is whether Jesus can be trusted that there is a salvation that can actually turn this corrupt heart, this upside down heart, can turn that heart upright. The text doesn't go any further. I mean, we'll have to pick it up again next week where this plan of uprightness is more specified. But in this passage, Jesus makes it quite clear that we should not forsake the hope that the upside down world can be made upright, and that that begins in the heart of each individual with Christ's presence in the heart of each individual. Now, here we have when we go to the psalm and ask ourselves, what would it mean to pray the truth of the gospel? The psalmist says something that, at least within Lutheranism, we are not used to saying. He says, "Your commands I craved." Oftentimes, it's actually not really true Lutheranism. There's a sense of which the law is the enemy of God's good news, when in fact it's a bit more complicated. The good news fulfills the desires that the law creates. In here, it's not just desire. The commands actually create a craving. The psalmist craves for God's commands because they are signals, they're signs that God intends to work a salvation, and that work will begin from the inside and work outward. God is not going to promise a bunch of adjustments to the outside world. They may happen, but those are not those things are not the center of salvation. The center of salvation is God working within our hearts. And the commands are mere words, but those words somehow bring a light about God's, a light or a vision of what God intends to do to us. That God intends to bring an uprightness to our upside down lives. And that happens with his inner presence. The light of the law casts light on our fallen upside down condition. But that's really good news. If you're sick and someone rightly diagnoses your sickness, that's the beginning of hope. That's what the law does. It's a diagnosis of our upside down condition. And then it gets us to, begins to get us to think that maybe uprightness, the thing that we crave, could actually be fulfilled. And this craving is, the psalmist says, for God's shining presence. Where God is presence, there is, the psalm says, the hope of being upright, because that presence promises an inner restructuring, an inner restructuring that takes place in this way by instruction. In other words, those words which seem so powerless are actually at the heart and center of God's uprighting program to change us from the inside by this in restructuring or instruction. Now in Deuteronomy, this desire is for God's wisdom and for the understanding that comes when God imparts his wisdom. God promises to satisfy our desire to be turned upright. That is the promise that he made to Israel. And then in order to initiate that program, that promise, he gave his people statutes and laws to both keep and to do. You can sense their disappointment. It was palpable. They wanted a different kind of salvation. They wanted a salvation that had some real heft, some magnitude that would be more impressive by altering the visible material, measurable outside things. They weren't really keen on a salvation that works slowly and hiddenly in the human heart. It was scandalous that the restoration of the fallen world should be so dependent on something as weak as words working in the human heart. They did not doubt the existence of evil. They lived it. They just did not think that God's word could actually make upright the human heart. They wanted to be saved from the outer ill effects of the inner working of the fallen upside down heart, rather than having God actually turn their inner hearts upright. The salvation that they wanted was not the salvation that God offered to them. And so it took many years in the desert for them to come to grips with the fact that a real salvation begins in the heart of each individual. Now, Paul is remarkably, beautifully. I think what Paul says here is the most important thing for people who are cowed and victimized by all the bad news that is capable of daily being published on the internet. Paul recognizes that evil proceeds from the human heart. But so does the strength to resist and vanquish evil. Paul is not going to be victimized by evil. He will not allow. He does not understand why people want to read the bad news and then do nothing but worry and complain. Paul is confident that Christ's presence in our hearts gives us a beautiful spiritual strength to stand against the outward materialization of human evil and against the metaphysical satanic source. This is what Paul is recognizing. Yes, evil and the evil day are something which can be fearful, but they are not the last word. Paul imagines the spiritual strength as the Olympian beauty of the Roman hoplite soldier. He sees the spiritual strength of God's presence as characterized by their discipline and confidence and courage. Paul is not about to let outward circumstances turn him into a victim, because he is confident in Christ's presence. And that presence means that nothing less than a real and active alternative is present when the day of evil comes. We are not in the day of evil given to passive resignation to the present pervasive anxiety and despair. Now, Paul says the day of evil will come, and we're right to pray that God does not put us to test. But when the day of evil comes and we are tested, Paul expects that Christ's presence will give us the inner strength to persevere as those who are more than conquerors.
Thank you, David, and thank you for listening. All the podcasts from this series, Worth Doing Badly, are available from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and get the one that is right for you for free. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other programs on our schedule, write me an email to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. David and I will be back next week at this same time. Stay on for more here on Lutheran Radio UK.